Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Has the job hunt worn you down? Application after application and radio silence? I know why you're here, and I can help you get there. A job offer, a job faster. You can now book me for $2 a minute for 30, 45, 60, or 90 minutes for a video chat interview preparation session. Don't need 45 minutes? Don't pay for it. Want to do 30 minutes now and maybe 30 minutes later once you progress? Let's do it. If you aren't getting responses to your application, we'll meet and rework your resume to get noticed. If you aren't passing job interviews, we'll work through a mock interview so you can put your best foot forward with winning responses that make a difference. I'm here to consult with you if you're in a unique situation and want input from someone that has seen it all and can help you succeed like I have so many others. It's super simple. You just go to jobinterviewexperience.com and click the $2 minute coaching button at the top of the page, select the amount of time you want to meet, and then you can look through my availability without having to pay. Pick a time and pay $2 a minute for 100% of my attention. Check out the testimonials while you're there from listeners to this podcast that I've worked with in just the last couple of weeks. It's blocked into 30, 45, 60 minutes and more. So we won't go over. You won't get charged any more than what you pay for at checkout. Remember that the faster you invest in yourself, the faster you land that dream job. Go to jobinterviewexperience.com or follow the link in this episode's description. I'm excited to meet with you, help identify what's holding you back, and help you take control of your career today. Welcome to the Job Interview Experience. There's a lot of information out there. And it's hard to know who's giving you good information and who's giving you information they're repeating from a blog or pulling off ChatGPT. I am a past executive recruiter. I worked at a small boutique search firm. I opened my own search firm and worked as an executive recruiter and firm owner there. I've been a director of talent acquisition at two quickly growing companies. The first company was a conglomerate, and I oversaw all four companies in various industries, from tech to manufacturing to a product to a patent to all kinds of stuff. So I've hired everything from sales to developers to manufacturing workers. And the other company I was director of talent acquisition at was a large company in the healthcare industry. We hired internally for a fairly large and quickly growing company, and then all types of healthcare roles. I've hired about everything. And between all of that, I've been an interview coach and your host of the Job Interview Experience. I say all of that, and the reason that you're probably listening to another episode is I have a lot of experience, and I'm sharing all of that with you direct from me sitting across the table from thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of job candidates, seeing the mistakes they make, seeing the things they do right. Also, I know why companies hire, because I made those decisions. And I also know why many firms hire as an executive recruiter. I got exposure to all types of different companies, their owners or presidents, leaders telling me exactly what they're looking for. Today is a really important episode because I'm going to share 13 things that annoy recruiters that job seekers frequently do during their interviews. Specifically, I made this list of things that hurt candidates when I interviewed them. These are all things I've seen that hurt candidacy. At the end, I'm also going to give you four things that don't matter nearly as much as you probably think they do, things that you shouldn't need to worry about quite as much. Before I dig in, I'll say I'm a pretty forgiving and understanding recruiter. I care about your talent and how it can help the company. I'm not looking for these silly little things like how many times you say during your interview. Those should not disqualify you. You're a human and everyone says, I say it, you say it, we all say it. Before we dig into the lists, let's read a review and a success story. You're going to want to hear the end of this because this can happen to you. This is from Michael. I'm not going to give the full name. Michael has his full name on Apple Podcasts. So just, I guess you can see the full name on Apple Podcasts. I'm just going to call Michael. Michael gave 5 stars and said, an investment in yourself. I could not be happier with the impact of this podcast. Informative, exciting, and motivating. This podcast provides such an excellent foundation for success within the job interview and personal development process. Thank you for giving all of us your skills, expertise, and wisdom as we navigate scary but invigorating experiences. Proud to say I got the job because of this podcast, and you can too. Thank you, Michael, so much for your review. It means the world for me, and I'm all excited after reading this review to dig into these top 13 things that will hurt your interview. Number one is being too early. This is for in-person interviews, but it's also for a video interview. Sometimes the recruiter will get an alert that you're there, that you've joined the meeting. You've probably seen this from doing Google Meet or Zoom meetings or whatever. I'd say 10 minutes is the earliest you should be. 5 minutes is really good. In past episodes, I talk about how you can arrive 20 minutes early and just park across the street or just down the street, so you're walking distance if your car wouldn't happen to start or whatever. So you're there, but you're not sitting in the parking lot waiting. You don't want to be in the lobby for that long. It's just awkward. I can tell you from experience working one of the buildings I worked in, I would go up to the reception area because that's in that area was where like a printer was and other things. And you have to walk by the candidate and they kind of glance at you and you kind of glance at them. Then sometimes people would stand up, which is the right thing to do, but I'm not there to interview you yet. You know, if you're 20 minutes early, I might be printing out a couple resumes for interviews for the next couple hours. So keep that in mind and arrive like 5-10 minutes early. If you're taking a train or subway or whatever, and just pace up and down the street a little bit before you start. Maybe pace up and down that's not in front of their store front, right? So they don't see you walking back and forth being creepy. Keep that in mind as you interview. The other thing, of course, is being late. A lot of times people have a good reason for being late, and it's not a big deal if you are, especially if something bad happened, right? I get it. That's life. That's your life. However, when someone, especially if someone's really good, we're really interested, they're 15 minutes late or 10 minutes late, a lot of times I would have interviews back to back. So when you're late, that screws up and hurts you and your time to share your best qualities. I'm going to have to cut you short because I don't want to be 15 minutes late and leave the other person, say, in the lobby hanging. So keep that in mind. I know no one wants to be late, so you're not trying to be, but punctuality is important. Try to eliminate anything that could stop you from getting there on time. That's also why my concept of arriving early and parking somewhere else with that extra time, if you're in a fender bender or you run out of gas or get a flat tire, you're giving yourself that 20-minute window to go sit somewhere else. Well, maybe you would get there right on time. You wouldn't have to sit and wait, but it gives you time to fix anything that might happen in the meantime. Number three, interrupting the flow of the recruiter with your questions. It's important that you get your questions answered. Don't miss the opportunity to do that. Wait till the end of the interview to ask your questions. I can say this personally, and I think I speak for all recruiters out there, I have a flow I like to get into for the interview, whether I specifically wrote down questions for you, the person I'm interviewing, or if I'm working off a list of standard questions that I go through, especially for early interviews. I have a flow and I order the questions in a specific order. When you start asking questions, that interrupts my flow, and I understand that you want to have them answered. Just make sure you wait till the end. If you're not asked, it's okay to say, hey, I had a couple really important questions I wanted to ask, if that's okay. It's okay to do that, but let people get in their flow. Just think of it when you're working on something really difficult at your desk and people keep coming up to you and saying, hey, can you take off your headphones? I have a question or whatever. That interrupts your flow as well. If that helps tie this into everyday life for you, the listener. Number four is asking proprietary questions about the company. And I've seen this happen a lot, and I understand that people might think that asking these questions shows that you've done a lot of research. Maybe you're showing some concern that you have that you want to demonstrate that you're in the know about, like maybe if it's a public company and their stock's dropped, or maybe the company has an invention or something they're getting ready to announce, or a really interesting CEO. Doing this can kind of raise red flags for one thing, and it also might make the interviewer wonder if you're planning to use this information for a competitor or if you have trouble keeping confidential information private. But overall, it shows that you ask things that you shouldn't, right? It's unprofessional to do so. So make sure the questions that you ask not only paint the company in a positive light. If you really need to ask something about the future of the company or the future of a product, that's fine. But don't dig into, you know, hey, I saw the CEO is sick or hasn't been heard of, or, you know, you have this lawsuit going on that's on the news. You understand what I'm saying here. Don't ask questions like that. The next thing that kind of goes along with that is asking if they can meet the company owner or the hiring manager. At one of the companies I worked for, a lot of people said, oh, I'd love to, you know, I know a lot about the owner. I'd love to meet him. Would that be okay? Or even without asking, would that be okay? I'd really love to meet the owner and have 5 minutes with him. I get that. That's a positive thing. It's good that you want to meet them, but I'm not going to introduce you to the owner unless we're doing a final interview that you're going to be involved in. Mostly because the owner doesn't want to. If I worked at a company where the owner wanted to meet any candidate that asked, I'd be happy to make the introduction. I would think that's kind of cool. But otherwise, you're asking something or you're hinting at something that just makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, because I know I'm going to say, you know, that's not going to happen. That's not possible. But you have to say it in a nice way, right? So, oh, he's really busy right now or whatever. So whether it be a hiring manager you want to meet or the owner, don't allude or hint at wanting to speak with them. It's good that you want to, and you should be excited to. Don't put the recruiter in a weird spot by bringing this up. Next is short answers and long answers. Both extremes can be detrimental. I've interviewed quite a few folks that give really short answers, even to the point of yes or no answers. Now, if you say, can you confirm that your name is Matthew, and you say yes, or is your name Matthew, and you say yes, that's great. That's fine. Don't worry about that. If I ask, have you ever been in a situation where you had to help a client, you know, work through a difficult situation, you say, yeah, I did. You'd be surprised how many people do that. So make sure, I think most of you probably struggle with your answers being too long, but make sure that you're not seeming standoffish and not holding back information or being shy. I know some of you are shy, but this is a time where you need to share the right amount. So the other side of that is answers that are too long. And there are candidates that love to talk. What's hard is how to end an interview question. I get that. And that's why they tend to be too long. The other side of that is people who just like hearing themselves speak too much. And that's what I'm talking about here. So try and shorten those. If you feel like you are the type of person who's a really good storyteller, maybe you're in sales or you're in a very interpersonal type role, remember that maybe telling stories, giving really long answers with all the details, I want to say this in a polite way, but like, don't bore the interviewer with stuff, information that doesn't matter for you. When you start giving a bunch of details and a bunch of information, you're actually hurting yourself, because you're not talking about the core of who you are. You're telling a story, right? This is to the side of what is going to interest them in you. Think about a car commercial, right? And it's a car that you think is really cool. Then all of a sudden they say, oh, and we started testing tires, and we tested these tires and they popped, and we tested these tires, but the logo was weird. And then you know that when tires get down below 50 degrees, right? Maybe you're really interested in that. And if you are, you can go learn it yourself or read about tires yourself. You want the car commercial to tell you the 0 to 60 time, how many passengers or kids you can fit in it, whatever. So maybe that's a good example, maybe not. Keep the information relevant to what helps seal the deal, helps move you forward in the process and demonstrate your ability to do the job. Next up, number eight is people whose resume that they submitted with is not up to date by the time when they come to interview. Now, if things have changed between like 2 weeks ago and when you interviewed, maybe you were laid off in that time. That's totally fine. That's not what I'm talking about. When people have a resume and maybe they've changed, they've moved across the country and they didn't update that on their resume. So I call you, it's an in-person job. We say, hey, we're really excited to talk. And you say, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I'm down in Florida and this job is in San Francisco. Then it's like, okay, well, we don't have the timeline for a relocation for you to sell your home, to find a new place, to move all your stuff. That kind of thing is really frustrating for recruiters. So make sure your resume, again, is up to date and that you clarify anything that's changed. If you move a lot, make sure the city that you live in is accurate. And of course, work history. When I ask questions, I'm probably going to get to the bottom of if you're currently employed by this company or not. Some people like to leave a little bit of time there. I get it. I get what you're thinking there, but be accurate on your resume. Build trust with the recruiter and the company that you work with. You would want that same trust to go both ways, right? So if you're saying that you're still at a company that you haven't been at for 2 years, you would want the company to, if the position is filled and that person, someone's been in it for 2 months and you're traveling and doing all this stuff to interview, you'd feel the same way. So make sure all of that information is up to date and reflects your current skills, experience, and location. Number 9, being difficult to contact. Don't be difficult to contact. I've had candidates that are absolutely fantastic and they maybe don't respond to an email. The phone goes to voicemail. Maybe sometimes people, you're in a relationship where you can text them. Maybe that's like during the phone conversation, for some reason they say text me, or maybe I'd ask to text people. I don't do that, but recruiters do. You get the idea. So be easy to get a hold of. If you're in the job search process and your phone rings and you don't recognize the number, answer it. Be easy to get a hold of. That company might want to interview you the next day. They might have something important to tell you. Respond to your emails right when you get them. Don't play hard to get or pretend that you're so busy that it takes you a day or two to respond. Be easy to contact. Make this easy for the recruiter to keep you moving forward. It could be something that this is common. They could want to interview you. Maybe it's Monday and they want to interview you Thursday. So they're calling you Monday to set that up, but they only have 2 time slots Thursday. If you don't answer that phone call Monday, those time slots might be filled up by the end of the day. And so then you're out to the next week and that hurts you. So make sure that you are top of mind and easy to contact, and recruiters like that. I can tell you, when I send an email and I get a response back in 2 minutes, you get your interview booked, you get whatever the next step is set up, and you're moving forward faster than other candidates. Next one, number 10, knowing like nothing about the company and the role, asking for more information during the interview. If you've carefully studied the job description and you have questions beyond that, that's amazing. That's actually good. I've interviewed people where you call and they say something along the lines of, which job was this? Could you remind me? I've been applying to a lot of jobs. Ha ha ha. I get that. That would really suck to be in that situation. But you need to know what you're talking about. You need to know this company and job well. Now, that would be that case I was talking about people would apply and sometimes I just pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, can you talk now? Or could we find a time? Can we schedule a time later on to have an interview? And I get it, like 100%. But when you show up to an interview and you don't really know what the company does, you don't really remember what the role entails, but you are happy to show up, I'm not here to educate you on what the job is, what the company is. I ask that you take the time to at least learn the company name, how long it's been around, the industry, and who the company serves, then understand the role. If you understand the role, I'm going to assume you don't know how to do it, because you should quit it by the job title or even glancing over the job description. You should know exactly what this is, and I would hope that you are confident that you are qualified for it. The next one is bragging or being kind of arrogant. Oh, I talk to a lot of listeners and I don't see this, but I've run into it when I've interviewed people. So it's good to be confident. It's good to tell the company that you can do what they need you to do. There's also a type of person who kind of acts aloof, like they're doing the company a favor by being there. The idea, like putting the feet up on the table, right? I've had someone do that before. I think I did And he put his feet back down after like 1 second. I probably had a look on my face. I'm not talking so much about that, but kind of this idea of like, hey, you called me, right? Like, oh yeah, I can, this like this. Oh yeah, I can make time for an interview for you. I'm really busy, but I think I can do that for you. Don't do that again, that hard to get thing. Focus on highlighting your skills and achievements in a way that showcases your value without coming across as arrogant. And here's the most important point for this. I've interviewed people where they tell the story and they carried the entire company on their back. They made everything happen. A lot of times, like, the owner didn't know anything, so they did everything and they fixed everything. If that's true, that's amazing. Don't frame it that way, because it makes you look like you, like, the put the whole team on your back, you can do everything. I don't believe it. I think your company had a lot of people who did a lot of things, and usually great things don't happen with just one person doing everything. So be humble. Don't be that type of person who's saying, yeah, and I did this and this and this and this, and no one could do this, so I also did that, and I made all these things happen. Avoid that. Be humble. When you do great things, even if you did the majority of the work, humbly give credit. You can make it clear, I did a lot of things. I'm the one who harnessed this project and really took it from the infancy stage to this where we were successful. It's okay to say that. When you say what I mentioned earlier about saying I did all these things, it just sounds like you're taking credit from other people and not understanding how much effort goes into big projects. So keep that one in mind. Number 12 is distrust of questions. So I've interviewed people where you ask a question. I'm not saying super tricky questions, but the job seeker kind of has a look after each question, this look of distrust, or that I'm trying to trick them. Avoid that. Come to the interview. You bring your side to the table, which is wanting to build a relationship, being friendly, being professional. The recruiter, that's on them to do that, but you need to bring that yourself, because if you don't, that attitude is going to be in the air. When a question comes up, and maybe if it's even a really scary question, you can just say, hey, I'm glad you asked. Instead of saying, huh, well, like, what do you mean by that? Or like, that's a really tricky or complicated. I've had people say, like, oh, this seems like there's no right answer to what you just asked. That's not true. I just want to hear your perspective on something, or I want to hear about a time that was difficult for you. Maybe a time where you had a customer that was angry, and I'm asking, like, how did you resolve that and turn them into a happy customer? So don't distrust the questions. Go with the flow. Some of them may be trick questions. Some of them may be really difficult to answer, but don't have that look on your face. Don't say things or even accuse the interviewer of trying to put you in a bad spot. A good interviewer, I think most interviewers want you to succeed because they want to hire someone for the job. So lose that attitude and you will thrive. Finally, last one, going on rants about the last job, drama, even personal drama. You'd be surprised how many people I've sat across from and they tell me way too much about what went on in the company. The dirty things that happened, the illegal things that happen. I've had plenty of those, or even people saying, hey, like, we weren't paying our bills on time, or we were cheating our clients, or all these different things. So don't bring that into your interview, and don't bring in drama. During an interview, when they start talking about interpersonal drama at the company, saying like, oh, well, this manager hated me, and, you know, the reason I got fired is, you know, he was always out to get me and trying to do this, and it turns out it worked, but he had his plans for what was going to help him. Don't do any of that. It makes you look like you're mature. Even if it's true, which it is true, I've seen it personally plenty of times, and I'm really sorry if that has happened to you or is happening to you. It does nothing to help you when you bring that up during a job interview. So just don't. You have to leave that baggage at the door. I had a guest on recently who said, you know, it's not that you have baggage, it's that there's a stench. Those were her words, not mine, but I think that's a really good way to put it. Don't bring that stench in of past trauma. At some point, you're going to have to let that go. It's best if you let it go before your job interview. Finally, here's some things I don't care about. Things that listeners tell me, or I know job seekers are really worried about for their interview. I'm saying this for me when I interview or have interviewed people, but I think a lot of recruiters probably agree with this. Number one, being nervous. I don't care if you're nervous. Sometimes I interviewed people and I was nervous. There's nothing wrong with being nervous. I see nerves as you're excited. This is important to you. So you're nervous. Some people, they just have stage fright, right? Doing a public speech would be like the scariest thing in the world for them. Well, doing a job interview is right next to that. Don't worry about being nervous. Try not to be nervous. Do some exercises. I have some past episodes about how to calm your nerves and some things that work really well to do that. So do everything you can to control that. Don't try and be nervous. But know that if you're nervous, it probably means you're excited. It probably means that this is important to you and you want to do well. I want you to want to do well. And I also want you to do well. So don't worry so much about that. It's okay. I've been in interviews where people tell me like, hey, look, I'm sorry. Can I start over? Because I'm really nervous for this interview. It's like, yeah, of course. Please do. Don't worry about it. It's okay to be nervous. That's what I would say. So don't overthink being nervous. If you're sweating profusely, that's probably just your DNA. Try not to sweat profusely. Try and plan out your outfit so that you wear something that's breathable or that won't be as hot. So like, keep those things in mind. But again, don't worry about being nervous. Other things I don't care about. A lot of times for an in-person interview, you might be offered water if you are and you want it, take it. Don't overthink it. Have some sips during your interview. If your hands are shaking really bad, maybe don't take as many sips. I know I just said I don't care about you being nervous, but like if you're shaking, maybe think that through a little bit. If you're doing a video interview, take a sip from your water bottle. I don't care. I'm talking to you. You're a human. Humans need to drink water. That's important. Don't eat. Don't bring food to your in-person. Don't like bring pasta to your in-person interview. But also, like, don't eat a hamburger during your video interview. Like, oh, sorry, guys. This is lunch for me. Gotta eat. Don't do that. But drink as much water as you want. One thing, this is really small. If you drink LaCroix or, like, I drink your super cheap Aldi brand. It's called, like, Bella Vie or whatever their carbonated water is at Aldi. If you drink that, be careful during the interview for three reasons. One, it can look like it's an alcoholic beverage. They're probably not going to think that, but that might be the first thought of a recruiter. And you don't want to have them trying to like see the can to make out what it is, right? Coors Light and some carbonated waters, the cans that are kind of steel looking like that, they can look very similar. So, okay, that's one. Number two, it can make you burp. So if you are thirsty during your interview and you're drinking a lot of that water during the interview, you don't want to be talking in the middle of that. Uh-oh. And then you know what happens next. A big burp comes out. So think about that for carbonated water. Number three, the bubbles can be really noisy. I don't know if it'll come through on your mic, but it's distracting. I do drink some carbonated water. By the way, I wish Aldi would sponsor me. I love Aldi so much, and I like their carbonated water. It's not as good as like the Target brand and some other ones, but I can't afford those. So anyway, Aldi, if you hear this, I don't think you're going to ever sponsor me, but I'll take it. So back to that. Drink normal water during your interview. Number three is saying I don't care if you say I said this at the beginning of the episode. Say Say it multiple times. Overall, you should try and work that word out of your vocabulary. But I still say it. Everyone still says it. Or like I just did. I say like. I say you know. I have never, ever not hired someone or not progressed them through the interview process for saying, using filler words, saying during their interview. Avoid long ums because I personally think they're kind of annoying. I do them myself too. So avoid the or like the avoid those. Try and kill that one. Or if you hear yourself doing it, just don't do it again. But overall, don't worry about those filler words. Worry about your skills and creating alignment between what you're good at and what the company needs and pitching that to them. Finally, number four, we're coming to a close here. I'm kind of sad. But number four, things I don't care about, not having an answer. If you're asked a question and you can't think of an answer to it in the moment, I'm not really worried about that. If I ask you about a specific piece of technology or maybe a very specific scenario, right? Can you tell me about a time, blah, 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 blah. You're nervous. I know you're nervous. You know you're nervous. That kind of gives you tunnel vision. Also, some people, they're just like not as good at remembering every little detail or situation in your life. Sometimes situations are really hard. So people, you kind of blank them out, right? You block it off from your mind. So if you're in that situation, I'll give you two options. Look, I'm really nervous, and I know that there's a situation like this that I'll be able to recall probably the second our interview is over. But I'm sorry, like I'm having a brain freeze right now. Is it okay if I follow up on that? That would be more for a situation. If you're asked about maybe a technical question, right? Like, how many of this did you do per month? How many of these reports? How many people were on this email list? Or like software, what software did you use at this job in 2013? Blah, 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 blah. If it's a question like that, you give the same response and say, look, I know I have that information somewhere and I'll be able to recall it, but I want to give you accurate information. Would it be okay if I followed up with you in 24 to 48 hours so I can give you the appropriate response? Both of those questions are doing a couple things that are really important. One, you're showing humility. You're not making up a long, drawn-out answer, which a lot of people do, and they're always awkward. So instead of trying to fumble your way and kind of lie your way through the answer, you're just admitting, hey, I don't know everything, or hey, I don't have that information right now. That's amazing. Two, you're focusing on the importance of accurate information. I don't want to work with people or hire people that will give inaccurate information just to give in it accurate information, right? Hey, how many days until this project's done? Or hey, how many hours until this is done loading? If someone says, oh, like 4 hours, and the answer is actually 16 hours, and I don't know, maybe it's a computer program or something. That's a big difference, and that's really important. Like maybe people are being paid overtime, or maybe people have to stay late because of your response. Instead of doing that, saying, hey, I don't know, but I'll go find out for you, that's the kind of person everybody wants to hire. So you're demonstrating that you're humble, you're demonstrating that you seek out and know the importance of giving an accurate response. And number three, maybe the best one, is you are asking permission to follow up with the recruiter. That's good. You want to have an excuse to talk to them again. So when you do that, you can say, you know, would it be okay with you if I got back to you in 24 or 48 hours so I can provide an accurate response or an appropriate response or accurate information? And you can say, maybe they'll say, yeah. And you can say, how would you prefer that I share that with? They're probably gonna say email. They might say, hey, send me a quick phone call. But you're leaving the ball in their court. You don't wanna be intrusive, but you have just gotten permission to follow up with them. If it is a phone call, which is unlikely, you can chat with them a bit. Like, hey, how's your week going? I'm sure you had a busy day when we met Tuesday. If it's an email, you can include some appropriate information. You can say, hey, here's the information we discussed. It's formatted nicely, blah, blah, blah. Hey, also, there's one more thing. You mentioned the importance of this quality during our interview. I wanted to tell you about my experience with that, or a certification I have, or how I do this, what my process is. So that was the final one, not having an answer. There's a couple solutions there on how to make that situation actually work in your favor. The recruiter doesn't care if you can't remember. That's not a big deal. What I just shared is how you win that situation. So 13 things that hurt your job interview and 4 things that I personally could care less about during a job interview. I think it's important to be gracious towards candidates. The company that we work for, I work for at any point in my career, the company's not perfect. Not everything, like, it might be a long commute, it might be a crummy office, might be a lot of pressure. We're not perfect. We shouldn't expect you to be either. That's always been my attitude. If you talk to a recruiter who doesn't seem to reflect some version of that, that's probably going to be an unhealthy culture overall. Maybe it's just a bad recruiter. Maybe they're new. Maybe they're having a bad day. But overall, if you talk to a recruiter and maybe you say, hey, I'm really nervous, and they say, hey, it's okay, I get nervous all the time, just keep in mind that that might typically different attitudes, different quote unquote vibes reverberate through an office. So the good ones, make note of that and give them all more attention. Do what you can. Write them a thank you note for the interview. If they're really cranky and mean or snobby or whatever, keep that in mind too. Because if a lowly recruiter, lowly as we are, is acting that way, it's probably going to get worse and worse each step that you go through the company. So their boss is probably going to be that way. Their boss's boss might be that way. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but you might see some of that. All right, I'm going to cut off here. Thanks so much for listening to the Job Interview Experience. I'll talk to you again soon.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.